Good morning. Today is that kind of a Friday, the 13th. Already had a little power loss.
Oh, you're here right. It is Friday the 13th.
Gremlin City, here we go.
It's windy, it's rainy.
And it's the last 13th of 2020. What a shocker, huh?
I'm not mad about it. Let's get through it.
Amy Conlin from Humboldt Bay Fire is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hopefully Sean's not out having to put water on anything this morning.
We are hoping that today will go without further incident. It's already been kind of strange this morning, so we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I would figure, you know, with all the branches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We haven't had a good wind come through yet,
yeah.
So all the stuff
yeah.
that's accumulated is probably the source.
Yeah. Well, as folks are driving around today, mind the power lines.
Yeah,
you always get a few
maybe slick
down.
Roads too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Water on the, I mean, all the stuff. Anyway, Winston, why do we say it?
Where does the word laconic come from?
Laconic?
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, laconic. I have no clue.
I don't know.
Amy's not stepping up on this
I
one
don't
either,
know.
So let's
I don't
just
know.
Say you win.
It's from the general name for Spartan territory. The Spartans were noted for their brusque speech, the best example of it being their reply when Philip of Macedon wrote to their magistrates, "If I enter Laconia, I will level it to the ground." The Spartans' reply was, "If."
Yes. I think that's one of the best responses of all time, if. Oh, my. Well, you didn't have your open house.
We didn't. We
went
virtual.
What happened to all the hot dogs?
We did not order. We didn't have to do any of that stuff, but we missed seeing everyone. We did. We like cooking and having everyone over. Man, yeah. They'll eat hot dog leftover hot dogs for
ever.
A week
yes.
after open house.
which I yeah. guess is better than 3 weeks of old pizza, right?
I mean, pizza's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we went virtual with the open house this year. We put out a bunch of videos on our YouTube channel. We're going to keep putting some stuff up there for people to watch. You know, we miss having people come through the station, so we're giving you some insight on video for now.
Well, and I suppose if nothing else, you're going to have a pretty strong library to be able to reference
yeah.
down the road of what to do and how to do and what not to do also.
Yeah, it's fun capturing that stuff on video, and you know, then as time goes on, they can look back and watch that. And there's been a lot of classrooms that have reached out to us for videos and content and
oh,
whatnot
cool.
too. So we're happy to
like the high schools and the junior highs and the elementary school
preschools and yeah,
oh,
you know,
cool.
just
okay.
We've read books, you know, on video to students. We've answered their questions on video, so that's fun too. We're trying to find ways to still engage with everyone.
You didn't, like, strap a camera on the fire pole and then send it down.
That's a good idea, though. We should do that.
Have everybody get sick.
I want to strap some GoPros on the crew and send them out.
I can remember it was before your time, Jay Glass was there. And his dad, Dwight, was one of at the Hubbard, you know, part of the fire district at that time. You know, you have visions of a fire pole being, like, half a mile long, right?
Oh, sure.
Spin and spin and spin. And it was like half a rotation and you're thunk. And it's like, what? What's that?
Didn't quite live up to your expectations.
No. The standing in line wasn't quite worth the event itself.
Yeah, fire poles are almost a thing of the past now. They don't build them in really anymore.
Oh, really?
At least here. But we have two at Station 1, and then we also have one at Station 5, I believe. So two of our stations have poles.
I wonder, is that because the stations just aren't multi-story? And, you know, it would be kind of stupid to have a pole. They would call it a different kind of pole if it didn't.
I think it's probably a liability thing, or I don't know.
Somebody clank their head or miss as they jump?
It probably took one person to, you know, ruin it for everybody. No.
Yeah, from my point of view, if a fireman couldn't grab the pole, do you really want him driving the truck?
Right. Well, you're right that the rest of our stations are one story, so there's not the need. But
right.
I think I've heard elsewhere that they're starting to do away with poles.
Oh, that's funny. It's like there must be a Saturday Night Live skit associated with that somehow, some way. What are some of the other iconics that are disappearing? You know, are the dogs disappearing?
You know, I don't know. We don't have, we have Callie. So when firefighter Yola is working, Callie the fire dog is there because he's her handler. And so we do have Callie the fire dog, but we don't have a dog that lives at the station or anything. You know, I'm not sure how common that is anymore, but traditions change. Obviously the fire service is a very traditional environment and they try to keep a lot of those traditions alive, but it's changed a lot in the
Well, probably computers from file cards would have changed things, or maps versus the GPS. How much computer stuff is now, I don't know if you play in this area or not, but in the cab of the fire truck,
so,
how much of that, computers and monitoring and the GPSs mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, is it a cell phone? Is it a display?
So
what is that?
We do have iPads in the rigs, so that'll pull up what the call is, the location of the call. We'll have some information in there in the system. If there was any kind of pre-planning done for that address, it'll have the note in there.
Like the floor plans and things like that?
If it's a commercial? Sure, yeah. If it was a location that's a target hazard, for instance, we would have essentially targeted that facility as some kind of special hazard, like if they have gas in there.
It wasn't the other way around where people trying to get rid of their hazardous materials and that's what target place to, okay, good.
And so they'll have some pre-planned information in there. But otherwise, to become an engineer, you have to, it's a pretty rigorous process as far as learning and taking tests and memorizing the maps of the jurisdiction, essentially, so they pretty much know where they're going. They don't really need the GPS up there.
I would suspect that most of them, I mean, you do something for a period of time, you're gonna know it. It's like a mailman, I mean, after a while you know,
oh sure,
every single location in your area, and it's I guess a side benefit of doing the job.
Oh yeah, and so many of our personnel are from here or have lived here for decades. So
you're saying they're old?
Oh no.
Okay. KINS News and Information Time, mature. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon. Amy, some of the different challenges I know with everything that's going on. You guys are fed a certain percentage through general sales tax.
Yes.
Okay. And then you got various categorical fundings where there's a grant for this and a grant for that, and you match mm-hmm. this or match that, or there's a foundation that says, okay, I want everybody to do X, Y, Z, and you put in, you get some bucks. Is that more and more challenging these days to get the grants or are people kind of, I don't want to say sympathetic, but perhaps there's more opportunity for those, either the first responders or law enforcement, depending on how you want to, public safety, however we define the department for the moment. Are there more of those dollars available?
I think it's a crapshoot because everyone's in the same boat right now with struggling with funding because of COVID. So you're right in that a lot of our funding was coming from sales tax for the city of Eureka, which obviously took a hit with COVID. So there are grants out there, thankfully. A lot of people have stepped up with money. We just got a grant for rural EMS services that we're really excited about. So that was a pretty hefty grant, and we're going to be putting that to use to really help out the community with our EMS services.
Do we qualify as rural?
We do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do qualify as rural.
I think rural, I'm thinking Willow Creek, Oric, places that are really tiny Maple Creek.
Well, when it comes to medical services, for sure we qualify as rural. And there's certain stipulations on that of how many people versus how many hospitals, how many beds, et cetera, et cetera. And so.
Oh, so the ratio is at play.
Sure. Yeah.
So when something like that comes through, I would suspect that the grant would already pretty much predefine where the dollars were going to be assigned and how they would be applied and things of that nature. So when the checks come in, it's just kind of executing the plan?
Yeah. So it was a really extensive plan that we put into place. So part of it is equipment based. So we were able to get a fifth and final cardiac monitor. So now each of our first in units has a cardiac monitor, so all the paramedics can plan accordingly for their shifts. We are getting some more training equipment with it, and then we're going to be putting 5 EMTs through paramedic school. So we're going to have almost double our paramedic offerings due to this grant, which is fantastic.
Where is paramedic school? Is that down in the Bay Area?
They have one at College of the Redwoods.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're going through there. We have one student right now, and we're going to add more next year.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, people don't realize sometimes that between 60 to 80% of most fire departments, ours included, calls are medical in nature. Fires are 5-6% of what we do. So it is a critical part of our mission, and it is a huge service that we offer to the community. And so we're really excited to build up our program, especially our advanced life support offerings. Yeah, we're excited about that.
Now, at one point, there was discussion about having, you know, when the personnel allocations were a bit of a challenge and trying to keep all the stations open, mm-hmm. of having the equivalent of a paramedic truck,
mm-hmm.
because I guess you only need 2 instead of 3 to run
a
medical.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still any thought in that direction once you get enough of the paramedics to be able to spread it out and not handicap one of the stations?
Actually, yes. Part of that rural EMS grant that we put in for is going to fund a feasibility study for a community paramedicine program. So this is kind of a new and emerging program that's starting to, you're starting to see it pop up, especially in larger departments with mobile integrated health. And so the idea behind the community paramedicine is that you're going to use paramedics and possibly other contracted public health entities to provide almost primary care for patients. It's going to reduce recidivism to ER visits, because what happens with people who don't have primary care or who don't, you know, who weren't trained on how to provide in-home care for themselves or their dependent, are calling 911 for non-emergent issues or issues that could have been non-emergent had there been preventative care in place. And so we're switching
that
focus.
So is that a dispatch issue of being able to shunt those calls off to the areas that are appropriate? Or if a 911 comes in, they just get processed as a 911 call and we're rolling?
Yeah, I mean, if someone calls because they need help, and we're showing up. But that takes emergency resources away from other things. Whereas if we can have a community paramedicine program that's going to follow up with so-and-so when they get out of the hospital for XYZ reasons, help them manage their medication, help them get set up at home so that they are that recidivism is prevented instead of reacted to, then we're reducing 911 calls, we're reducing ER visits, it saves money for the entire community, and it helps that individual patient.
So by doing that, are there going to be nurses rolling, or is that just a byproduct of the paramedic training, so now you've got, not cross training, but dual training, so when the folks are rolling, it's the equivalent of having a nurse on board with that kind of medical expertise?
Yeah, so we're that's part of the feasibility study, is we're going to kind of do the work to see what it would need to look like here, and figure out, you know, what exact services we would want to offer, who we would want to have on board, what that's going to look like, because the possibilities are huge.
And who gets to follow up?
You're right.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humble Bay Fire. Did you take a picture of Amy with her beautiful mask on for the website, Winston? Oh, we can't miss the opportunity.
I don't want to gunk up your microphone here with all my germs. Uh-huh.
Well, that's why you brought in your own handy-dandy. Boy, you've even got fine print on the back.
I think that's just the ingredients.
Oh, man, there is like no chance in the world for anybody ever to be able to read that one.
That's what they're betting on.
Yeah. But it's the official Humble Bay Fire juice.
Hand sanitizer, yeah. Got to stay clean.
Put it right there in a place of honor.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say. So this could go one of two ways.
We're starting to see Christmas tree lots, signs.
I know.
The positioning. I think this weekend is when they're going to be up. I know that there's kind of rules of thumbs for what to do, what not to do, what to look for, what not to look for, that kind of stuff. And rather than waiting until 2 weeks before they get taken down, what are some of those things as reminders for folks?
Yeah. Okay. So Christmas tree safety. One of the most important things you can do is to water your Christmas tree, which seems counterintuitive because you're not trying to keep it alive. But it's important to keep the moisture level up, because a dry Christmas tree will go up in flames just like that. If you want a good Friday visual.
A dry Christmas tree is a dead Christmas tree.
Well, that's true too. But when it gets a little bit closer... But, you know, fair point in that people are already starting. We'll put up some videos as well of dry Christmas trees, how quickly they can ignite. And when you've got all the lights and tinsel and presents, you know.
Oh, just if you've ever done a clear burn done any clearing, you have you hear the crackle, the pop, and it's gone.
It just goes up like that. And a Christmas tree, if a Christmas tree lights because of... You know, let's say you've got lights on there that don't have the right UL rating or, you know, something sparse, sure.
Yeah.
And it goes up, your whole living room can be engulfed in 2 minutes. I mean,
And all the presents.
That's what I mean. So we got to keep those.
Santa doesn't want burnt chocolate chip cookies.
No. and 2020 has been enough of a year already that we don't need any more.
Yeah.
Fires or emergencies for the holidays.
Just more weirdness, yes. So we got Christmas trees. Wreaths have never been a concern. Christmas candles, though. You know, there are the pillars, there's the three wickers, there's the tapers, there's the fancy formal one. Lots of different ones. I think that, to me, that's one of my memories going way back when this show started was, really? People will put unbalanced candles and light them and walk out, and they just kind of fall over, and they can light tables and they can light the runners and the decorations and simple old candles.
Oh yeah, and not even them falling over, but people have them too close to the wall or the curtains or whatever it is. So yeah, just like with any other time of year, Christmas candles, I feel like people have candles out more often during the holidays than any other time. So never leave your candles unattended. You know, the candles cause a lot of fires during the holidays, and you just don't leave them in a room where nobody's there. Got to have eyes on them.
And there's just, I'm sorry, if you have a battery-operated candle, you don't have a candle.
Yeah, at least there's not a fire risk there. But
yeah, there's no candle there either. I mean,
it's not as much ambiance.
It's like a chair catching on fire all by itself. There are some, I suppose that with a lot of the new cooking techniques, things of that nature, there's a little bit of a concern also this time of the year about the turkey fryers.
First time
users, or somebody's unfamiliar with it, are there rules of thumb about that also that you folks will talk about?
Absolutely, yeah. That we'll definitely put some information out about that as well. The deep frying the turkey can definitely go wrong, and you need to follow all the instructions really closely for that, and clear out space underneath, have a fire extinguisher nearby. But burns associated with deep frying a turkey are inherently a risk, absolutely, and fire secondhand as well.
Another reason to do it the right way, the traditional way, or barbecue. A lot of guys and gals now are doing the barbecue.
Really?
Thing. Yeah, they just put it in and slow cook it. And I haven't been invited over to one of those personally, but you know,
there's the plug.
We do. Yeah.
He wants deep fried turkey. Yeah,
no,
or,
no.
A grilled turkey.
No. Barbecue. See, I don't want the work. What I want is the leftovers. A little sampling. No, we've got our own. I have found over the years that dill, garlic, mashed potatoes do not cause burns.
Mm.
I stay in my lane when it comes to Thanksgiving. It's like this, yeah.
So are mashed potatoes, that's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Yeah. That's because I'm not supposed to have mashed potatoes anymore.
Mine's the green bean casserole. That's what I grew
up really?
On my mom's green bean casserole, yeah. That's my favorite.
Cranberry on turkey sandwiches.
Love that. Yeah. With some mayo.
And dressing.
Dressing?
For me, it's the dressing and the potatoes. Yeah. And there's dressing on some places offered on the sandwiches also.
So by dressing, do you mean gravy?
Me?
Yes.
Well, the gravy goes on the dressing.
What's no,
the dressing is the bread and the celery and the mushrooms
and the
spices and all that stuff.
Okay, I see.
Do I pass?
Stuffing.
Yeah, well, we don't put it in the bird, so it's not, I guess
okay.
I'm getting stuffed. How's that?
Oh, that's the difference. So it's stuffing if you cook it inside the turkey. And
it has all the drips and
on
stuff.
Now
we just, you know, I don't have this turn into a cooking show. Oh, well. Nope, just the celery and the onions and the carrots go in the cavity and just kind of the essence goes up into it.
Well, the important thing is no matter which way you cook it, to never leave your cooking unattended either, because kitchen fires are the number one cause of home fires. Cooking fires.
Just in the oven, kinds of? Or on the stovetop with something
just
not
cooking,
bubbling?
Cooking
just
in general, yeah. Your stovetop or oven. Oven fires are fairly easy to put out because
shut the door.
Yeah, but it's people's natural inclination to open it and see the fire. But really, you want to turn the heat off and keep the door closed.
Yeah.
You're going to sacrifice whatever's in there, but everything else will be safe.
The great god of turkey.
Hopefully you got a backup.
There you go. Spam. notice I didn't go to tofurkey. It's spam as the backup.
Okay.
Yes. Make that one clear. Okay. Or maybe it will be that deep fried turkey that somebody brings by.
Maybe you'll have a neighbor who will share with you.
Yeah, I think. Probably spam is higher on the likelihood. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humble Bay Fire. Toys for Tots. Typically this time of the year is when things start cranking up. Things are a little bit different this year without some of the larger gatherings. Potential,
yes.
Without the Holiday Bazaar out at Redwood Acres, which I know is a major collection point. It's going to be a different year, obviously. What are some of the things, because I know the fire department is always really involved with that.
Yes.
What are the adjustments being made this year?
So we're still doing the toy drive. We're still doing Santa for seniors. you can drop off for the toy drive. You can drop off any unwrapped toy to any of the fire stations, and then various locations around town. So B-Styled Studio, George Peterson Insurance, Eureka City Hall, Paletsky's, all the Eureka Health Sports, Old Town Coffee and Chocolates, the list goes on. Starbucks, Porter Street, Los Bagels, tons of places in town have collection
all
points.
All right, another reason to go to Porter Street. Gotta there love go. That. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we're here for your and.
While I'm here.
Yes, yes. Are they going to have like special banners or signs or some kind of marking so that you can see it easy?
Big red barrel that has the toy drive sign. Yeah. Yeah, so you'll see it.
And nobody ringing a bell?
Nobody ringing a bell, no.
I mean, that's one of the sounds of Christmas too, right?
Very true.
The Salvation Army bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they're able to do that too. I mean, it just... Yeah, everybody's looking for some kind of consistency with what Christmas is supposed to be.
Right.
But I think the Christmas tree lots is coming up is going to be the start of it all this weekend. So we'll see. Sure. The spraying or the fire retardant stuff, do you guys leave a mark on that? Kind of, is there something equivalent to like the fireworks that are the safe and sane and authorized? Are there standards that they have to do when there's the flocking or the fire retardant, or does that just happen when they, in order to be able to sell the trees on a resale basis?
You know, I'm not sure about the flocking. I'm sure there has to be some kind of standard, but I'm not aware of it. I'll have to look into that.
Ah, a little something for that press release. It's coming.
Yes.
We got the preview right here, right now, to quote Ed Sullivan. All right. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
See everybody tomorrow.